Welcome to today's podcast for the Canadian Association of Optometrists. My name is Denise Balsh. I'm president of Connex Health, and today I'm talking to Dr. Michelle Lane, who practices in New Brunswick. Dr. Lane has a special interest in treating ocular surface disease, more commonly referred to as dry eye. She's taken extra training and presented optometric continuing education and shared roundtable discussions with other optometrists on the topic of dry eye disease. Dr. Lane has been a council member of the New Brunswick Association of Optometrists since 2015 and is currently the president of the association. Dr. Lane, welcome to today's podcast.
Thank you, Denise. I'm so happy to be here.
So in preparation, just maybe you could tell me a little bit about what drew you to a career in optometry.
Yes, I was introduced to optometry from a young age. My aunt and uncle are optometrists. So that's a profession that I saw right from an early age. And I always looked up to my aunt and uncle. So it was something that kind of pulled me in that direction. And what I like about optometry is it's a healthcare profession. I've come from a family full of healthcare professionals, but it also has a business aspect to it. So it's like a good combination of running a small business and being a healthcare provider. For me, it's great because you have some, as a self-employed person, I have some flexibility in my schedule. So I'm able to set when I want to work. I can work. I can be as busy as I want to be, but I also have time to spend with the family. So it's been a really great profession for me.
Well, that's great. It's sounds like it's very much in the family then. So that's a great role model and an example for you as you were growing up.
Yes, it definitely was.
So you're very active, not only in your local association, but you're also a member of the Canadian Association of Optometrists, and you're a member of the Insurance Industry Working Group. So we've been working together for some time now. And more recently, we've been working to provide support to insurers as they work to modernize group vision care benefits for their clients. So what has drawn you to participate so actively in the CAO and your local association?
Well, optometry is such a great profession and it's given so much to me that I felt it was really important for me to give back to the profession as well. So, you know, as optometrists, a lot of us went to school in similar schools, so we're a bit of a family. And so to be able to continue on with that, working with your colleagues outside of your own business and practice is a great option. With our associations, the opportunity for continuing education and growth and networking is just so awesome. And, you know, when things need to change in a profession, change comes about when you have a group of people working towards common goals. So I feel with both the New Brunswick Association and the Canadian Association of Optometrists, we help to raise our profession up to the highest level it can be.
You know, it's really a pleasure to work with professionals like yourself who really see kind of the greater good, as it were. So it's not just about your own practice, but it's about the profession in general and also the health of Canadians. So I certainly commend you for that. And it's been a pleasure working with you and your other colleagues who feel the same way. As I've learned more about optometry with working with the CAO over the last few years on their modernization initiative, it seems to me, and we've had a bit of a discussion about this already, but I want to revisit here that the primary role of optometrists is really quite close to that of family physicians because, you know, both optometrists and family physicians are very focused on prevention, and maybe optometrists even more so than physicians, diagnosis and early intervention for their patients. Do you agree with that? Like, what's your perspective on that?
Oh, yes, I certainly agree with that. You know, we see people on a regular basis. You know, it is kind of the traditional model of optometry is you go in for a regular eye exam and determine whether you need glasses or not. And those are things that people maintain on a regular basis. But we're also healthcare professionals. So we're looking out for not only the health of the eye, but the health of the entire patient. So when we see people on a regular basis, we have an opportunity to screen them for other health conditions that may show up as ocular issues, things that patients don't even realize they're having an issue with. So it's nice that we have this continuity and this constancy of care with our patients. It does definitely put us on the front lines. We're definitely a primary healthcare profession, and people come to us and we're easily accessible in many small communities and large communities across the country. So I feel we really do fill a role of being a primary healthcare professional, which is, you know, quite similar to a family doctor.
Yes, absolutely. I agree. But surprisingly, the funding for primary care services is very different between physicians and optometrists, isn't it?
Yes, yes, it is. Particularly here in New Brunswick, where I practice, you know, of course, family physicians, they're covered under, we call it Medicare here. That's the provincial program in New Brunswick. Optometrists are not in that program. For most people in New Brunswick, optometric services are paid out of pocket, or if they have employee benefits, there's coverage there. So it is, you know, quite a different system. Here in New Brunswick, it's basically always been this way. So people are quite familiar and expect how our billing models work. But employee benefits is a very important aspect of funding for optometric services, definitely here in New Brunswick and across the country.
Yes, absolutely. And it's not just those preventative and sort of maintenance services. As you pointed out, there's screening that you conduct that can really help you understand what's not only going on with the eye, but give you some indication of what might be going on in other parts of the body. Yes. Interesting that is, and you know, as you said, in other parts of the country too, that we rely on a group benefit coverage for that, and it makes that coverage so important. And that's really one of the objectives I know that we've been working on together over the last few years, to really modernize those group benefit programs so that they better reflect the scope of services that optometrists are able to offer. I'm wondering if you can share one or two examples of the difference that you've been able to make for a patient that has had a significant impact on patients' health, whether it be vision or otherwise.
Oh, yes, definitely. There's a couple that come to mind right away. One in particular, as you mentioned, I do have a special interest in ocular surface disease. Many people recognize that as labeled as dry eye. I had a patient who was having significant issues with the comfort and the health of the front surface of her eye due to the quality of her tears. And, you know, doing my case history with her, asking her what treatment she's doing and the treatment and discussing treatment plans we were going through, I also asked her, you know, do you happen to have a dry mouth? And she answered in positive. And, you know, with my knowledge base, knowing that, you know, having dry eye and a dry mouth, there could be something systemic going on. So I encouraged this patient, and I actually communicated with her family doctor suggesting she have testing for an autoimmune condition. And it turned out she did have an autoimmune condition. So, you know, that wasn't really on the radar until it was mentioned and discovered by her very symptomatic dry eye. So with this diagnosis now, she was able to properly treat and care for her systemic autoimmune disorder, as well as more effectively be able to treat her ocular surface issue. You know, the ocular surface systemic disease connection is definitely there, and something that, you know, all of us optometrists are quite mindful of.
When we talk about dry eye, we often think of, you know, running into the pharmacy and just grabbing, you know, a little bottle of Visine, and it's not really recognized as an actual medical condition, but it can be quite serious, as you pointed out. It can it's definitely something not to ignore.
Certainly, it has such an impact on people's quality of life and ability to work. You know, if your eyes are irritated and watering and gritty all the time, it's constantly on your mind. It's a constant distraction. And in this world where so many people are working on the computer, you know, that is a contributing factor to this issue. So, you know, if we want to have a productive workforce, we have to treat their symptoms so that they have, they're comfortable and they can focus on the tasks that they need to do in their daily lives.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. You had another example that you wanted to share with us, I think.
Yes. Yes. Early on in my career, I saw a young family come in. So a mother brought in her two children. The daughter was around six. So she was like in grade one and brought their younger son who was about four along as well. And primarily the appointments were for the older daughter as she was in school, just want to make sure everything was okay with her eyes and that she was seeing well and comfortably. And she was, that's great. Then I moved on to doing the eye exam for the younger four-year-old. And the mother said, you know, we just brought him along because we were here and thought, you know, it'd probably be a good idea for him to get his eyes checked. And so I had him up in the exam chair and I was showing him the pictures on the wall. And his mom said, you know, he's really shy. He might not, you know, answer. He might not talk to you. It's, you know, he's quite quiet. So, and it was true. He wasn't, you know, letting me know with what pictures he was seeing. But as I was doing my assessment, I came to the realization he wasn't just shy. He really couldn't see those pictures at the end of the room. And when I was doing my measurements and my checking of his vision, his refraction, I discovered he's actually quite nearsighted. So in reality, he couldn't see any more than 12 inches in front of his face. So, you know, we, you know, explained what was going on to his parents and prescribed him some glasses. When he got his glasses, he was a new child. It was almost like a personality change because the whole world opened up in front of him. It was quite amazing.
Yeah, you know, that's really quite a touching story. Even personally, my daughter has had her own issues with some severe corrective lenses that were required that really weren't picked up before she started kindergarten. So I think it's really important. And we often talk, you know, about adult eye health, but it's really important to start that, you know, those checks early on. And recently, you know, I've seen some kids that are just so young with glasses, but you know, it makes such a huge difference when you can see with clarity. And often kids won't even let you know because they don't know what seeing clear looks like. Do you agree?
I completely agree. That is correct. You know, children experience the world the way they experience the world, and they have no concept of how others experience the world. And so, you know, there's another example of a child I saw once who could see well out of one eye and didn't see well out of the other. So we're checking their vision, and they said, and then they saw with their good eye. And I said, well, no, cover that eye. Tell me what you see. And they're like, oh, no, I can't see with that eye. That's my bad eye. And this child had the perception that everyone has a good and a bad eye. And the mother and the father were shocked because they had never heard this before. But the child didn't express it because they didn't know it was out of the ordinary. And, you know, you don't know how well you can see. I've even seen adults. I've seen people in their 20s that were going for an advanced driver's license and they didn't quite meet the requirements. And they came in and I put some lenses in front of their eyes and I said, see, this is how well you could see. And they were shocked. They're like, oh, I didn't realize that's how sharp things were supposed to be. So yeah, it's very important children come in early. You have no way of knowing if they're seeing well or if their eyes are working together until they have the actual optometric exam.
That's right. And, you know, luckily under group benefit plans, these vision exams are covered for kids. So it's a great benefit.
Yes, yes. And, you know, what's important for children is that the frequency is a little more regular than with adults. We do want to see them back on at least a yearly basis because their eyes can change so fast.
Yeah, absolutely. Just as we sort of get close to closing off here, because this is just kind of like a mini podcast we're doing, what are some of the opportunities to fill the gaps in group vision care and modernize benefits so that they provide adequate primary vision care and treatment of serious eye diseases, one of which we've already talked about today?
Yes, you know, the traditional model of having your eyes checked every couple of years and getting a new glass, getting a pair of new glasses or contacts, just isn't the model that optometrists work under anymore. We detect various eye diseases such as, you know, glaucoma, macular degeneration. We follow the development of cataracts. These conditions may require more frequent visits. And my example of ocular surface disease, it's a chronic ongoing condition. And many people, it took a while for them to get to the point that they're at. It's going to take some treatments and some assessments before we get them back to feeling comfortable. So to simply develop a treatment plan, say, there you go, and see them back 2 years later, is not going to sufficiently cover that. You know, it requires some, you know, frequent visits in the beginning to get things under control, and then regular follow-ups. So if their insurance benefits would cover these necessary appointments, then I think people would actually receive that care more regularly. You know, one of the issues with ocular surface disease that's more commonly known as dry eye disease, sometimes people don't take it very seriously. So if I tell someone, these are the steps we're going to take to help to get this condition under control, I want to see you back in 6 weeks, probably 6 weeks after that. And if they say, well, will my insurance cover this? And I say, well, you can look into that, but it's possible that may not. And then I think what happens is they think, well, if insurance doesn't cover it, maybe it's not that important after all. And so, yes, if we can fill some of these gaps, I think people are going to get better care, better prevention, and overall have a better quality of life.
Yeah, absolutely. And, you know, when we talk about filling those gaps in care and providing, and some plans do already provide coverage for some of these issues, we should point out, but there are many that don't. And when some of these coverage gaps are filled and people do get the right care, that in terms of being meaningful to patients, that would be meaningful in their day-to-day lives, but also in the workplace.
Yes. You know, you have an example of, you know, someone perhaps they have an eye infection or a red eye or an injury. It's something that needs to be seen right away. You know, typically with our experience, you can get to your optometrist, you know, that day or the next day, take a short time away from work and get your treatments and back you go. You know, if we need to refer or send to a family, if the patient doesn't go the optometric route and they're seen by their family doctor, it's potentially they take time off to see the family doctor. The family doctor then refers to someone who specializes in eyes. That's another visit away. So it can take more time out of the patient's life, attending to these appointments. Another example is for in rural areas. For conditions such as glaucoma. Glaucoma requires ongoing management, oftentimes at least every 6 months. And if you're in a community that doesn't have an ophthalmologist, you may have to travel for an ophthalmologist. So that requires a day off from work, perhaps a day off from work for the person who's driving you. And if they were able to access that care in their own community, it wouldn't take so much time from their lives, so they could be more productive in their home life, work life, what have you.
And you mentioned work life, and I think it's not just time away from work, which obviously is very important for treatments, but it's also, you know, that that presenteeism or the potential productivity loss. If somebody's at work and, you know, I sit at a computer screen a lot these days. And, you know, if you can't see that computer screen because of issues with your eyes, whether it be because of dry eye disease or another vision issue, you know, that can be very detrimental to your productivity at work. So it is really part of, you know, keeping that whole person productive and healthy and able to meet their family, the needs of their family, but also their work commitments too.
Oh, certainly. And I know we talk about, you know, dry eye, like if you're in front of a computer and your eyes are watering and you're rubbing your eyes and you're having to take breaks, you know, that affects productivity, but so does maybe not having the exact right type of glasses for the task you're doing. You know, trying to make sure it's clear and sitting in the right spot. If you're moving your head in strange positions and you're hurting your neck and, you know, other issues come from that, you know, having the coverage to be able to get task appropriate eyewear, such as computer glasses, can really help with the productivity of that employee.
Yeah, no, I'm a living example of that. I cannot wear my progressives on the computer because I get a neck ache. So I have my glasses and they work really well. So I've been very pleased with them.
Yes, yes, that's not an uncommon issue.
Well, Michelle, I want to thank you for being with us. I should say Dr. Lane. So, but it's been great speaking with you. And I look forward to working with you in the future as we work together to help modernize vision care benefits for Canadians and so that you can deliver better care to your patients.
Great. Thanks, Denise. This is such an important topic. I'm so happy to be able to contribute to the discussion. And I really appreciated our talk today.
Thank you.